nice to be with you today. It's nice always to see old friends. It's nice to meet new friends. I'm sorry because of my condition I couldn't stand around and meet some of you, but we appreciate your being here. I'd like to read this evening from Philippians chapter 1. Years ago when my wife and I lived in Portland, Oregon, there was a little boy named John who was a friend of mine. And one Sunday morning at the breaking of bread service, I had given out a song, and then I'd said, had a word of prayer. And then when I got up to read a portion of the word, this little boy whispered real loud to his mother that, "Oh no, is Van Ryn going to talk again?" Well, that's what's going to happen this evening. Those of you who were here this morning heard me talk, so you're going to hear me again this evening. We'd like to read to you from Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, first of all. "According to my earnest expectation and our hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as all also, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be abundant in Christ Jesus, for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in the Spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." We'll just quit at that verse. I'm sure that many of you here, if not most of you here, knew my brother Elliot, and you knew that he went to be with the Lord on July 1st of last year. The theme of his service, which was held on July 10th, was this text: "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." I feel that was really the embodiment of his life. I shared a room with him from the time I was 3 years old until I was 25 years of age. And that was true of him from the time he was a little boy. And I want to speak a little bit about that verse particular this evening. Paul in our text is speaking of the choice that each of us make at some time in our life after we take the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. If you take out the two words, Christ and gain, you will find that only a comma separates life and death. And so it is in our life. A baby is born, and one day before we realize that they're grown, and they die. We see a friend, they're alive and well, and someone tells us of their passing, and we hardly believe that they're gone, as it was with Elliot. The flower opens in the spring. We enjoy its beauty. For part of the summer, the leaves fall off and dies, life and death. Almost every individual at some time in their life do as Paul did. They weigh the value of life as opposed to death and ask, is it better to live or to die? We're talking spiritually, of course, not physically. But is it better to live or die? Is it better to die to the things of this world and to live for the things of Christ? Hamlet asked the question, to be or not to be. That is the question. He was thinking of normal life and death, of course. Is there value in my life, or am I just as well off dead, Paul would say. But Paul said, to live is Christ. As one looks about in life, they see others who would say, my life is complete. I'm a doctor. I'm saving lives. I'm a teacher. I'm educating people. I'm a successful businessman. I'm making billions of dollars. On the other hand, one could make Christ everything in their life. Thus, Christ would be the essence of their life, and they would seek to live for Him, doing for others, as Christ is the model of their life. And to be Christ-like in thought and deed, Christ primary in their life. Christ the aim of their life. When Christ is all in all, as in the case of Paul, Paul had tunnel vision. Paul saw Christ only. And when you and I have that, then Christ becomes the present and future reward of life. To know Him and someday to be with Him. Thus, life is not wealth, nor knowledge, or giving, or getting. Life is a daily walk with Christ until we're freed by death, by the giving up of things in this world, by dying to them. We cannot really know life. Let me see how Paul pictures death. First of all, it's a beginning. The world says that death is the end. Your life is gone. Life is over. Paul says gain. More of Christ. Peter calls it an exodus. We say absent from the body and present with the Lord. I was reading this morning in the Daily Bread. Some of you, I'm sure, read that. And it was interesting this morning. It said that a man saw on a tombstone these words, to be continued. You never thought about that. But you know, you watch a television program, and you get right to the exciting part, and it says, to be continued. You read a story, and you get to the end, and it says, to be continued. And how upsetting that is to you and I, and yet that's really the way it is with life, isn't it? This is not all of life. This is the beginning of life. You and I are going to continue in eternity. Whether we're saved or unsaved, our life is going to continue in eternity. Either in a lost eternity or in heaven with Christ. And the choice is ours. Paul speaks of death as birth. It is true. You and I have the Spirit. He sets us free from the confines of this body. I was telling Danny on the way over, the only way you and I can leave this body is by death. It's the only way we can get. We're a captive in this body. When you look up here, you do not see Carol Van Ryn. You see the house in which he lives. But I can't leave this house except by way of death. I'm confined to this body. We are, as it were, born from the dead when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Our text speaks of it as a desire to depart. It's like freeing the vessel from its mooring to sail off into other places. And so death is freedom. It's freedom from sorrow. It's freedom from pain. No more suffering. No more tears. No more limitations caused by this mortal body in which we live. No more no mores. Paul, in his yielded will, had become so definitely in line with the thoughts of God and Christ his Savior, he could say, to me, to live is Christ. To live is Christ. That even life and death became rather unimportant to him. We would suggest, of course, that he understood the frailties of the flesh. And he understood that he could not change things from a natural point of view. When a person is badly ill, there's not much the doctors can do oftentimes. Still, he did not seem to be in fear. Christ was living his life in him. Many times you hear preachers and others say, invite Christ into your life. Christ is not a department of your life, but Christ is all of your life. Christ does not want to come and live his life with you. Christ wants to live in his life for you, live his life in you. You are to yield your will so Christ can live his life through you, and people seeing you will see the Lord Jesus Christ. That verse 20 illustrates that self is always our greatest difficulty in seeking to make Christ the center of our life. Peter is a good example of that. He always was listed first among the disciples. If you ask people to name a disciple, it would almost always be Peter. He told the Lord that he was willing to die for him. He was the disciple who drew the sword when the soldiers came to take Jesus. And yet Peter lost his courage when a little maid accused him of being with Jesus. And so his own pride, his deceitful heart, failed him. And how often that happens in your life and mine. Paul knew, and you and I know, that we have to have the divine nature, having accepted Christ as our Savior. As long as we're in this body, we are subject to the weaknesses of the flesh. So we have to yield our will to Christ. As Paul said, "For me to live is Christ." He tells us about this in Romans 7, where the capital I is very prominent, I should say. Paul asks, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death through Christ our Lord? With the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." And then in verse 4, he says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It is only as we submit ourselves to the leading and direction of the Spirit of God that we find the flesh is kept in the place of death. Paul had come a long way from Romans chapter 7 to here in Philippians chapter 1. How little we really comprehend the power of Christ in these lives of ours. To live is Christ. To die is gain. The fluctuations of our fortunes, the state of our health, the present outlook in our affairs seem to matter so much to us from day to day. We begin to believe that our happiness or unhappiness is largely regulated by our circumstances. Paul was saying, "Now, with dynamic force in me, for me to live is Christ, this which dominated his whole heart and soul." Now life and happiness did not depend on the things beyond his control. He could conquer all with his life set on Christ as his one and only interest. He might live or he might die. What difference did it make? As long as his heart and soul was occupied with Christ, and Christ was glorified in his body. Here in these few words, Paul gives us a philosophy of life. He did not live for money or fame or pleasure. He lived for Christ. Like they would say, "Man, that's really living." The object of his life was to love, worship, and serve others for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thus, like the life of his Savior, Christ would be important to him. And thus to depart and be with Christ would be far better if he considered only his own personal interests. But what was God's will? And God's will was that he should stay. And the Lord's will is always best for our lives. Man dreads death as a general rule, but even for the unbeliever, there are benefits in death. A person is free from the problems and trials of this world once they die. They'll never sin again. I've often said that at a funeral. Whether the person is saved or unsaved, the person in that coffin will never sin again. There'll never be any sin in eternity, and there'll be no sin in heaven. So the person who's died is never going to sin again. We know the Christian will never sin again because there will be no sin in heaven. But even for the unbeliever, they'll never sin again. Death allows us to discover our true desires and yearnings, which are fulfilled for the individual in eternity. You and I have no idea what eternity will be like, either with or without Christ. We know God's promises, and only death makes them realities. For the believer, not to see Christ could not be far better. But Paul says, to be with Christ will be far better. But only death itself reveals it. And in like manner, there are special blessings in a life with Christ. For me to live as Christ, F.B. Meyer suggests in his book that if we could ask the Apostle Paul, he might say the origin of life for the believer was on the day of Pentecost, the time when the germ of Christ's life was planted in the soul of the believer, when the Spirit of God, of Jesus, was first planted in the believer. The Holy Spirit came in to dwell in the church and make known the Lord Jesus Christ. The life of the believer here in this world is not service, but to know Christ. If you know Christ, you will serve, but the purpose of your life here in this world is to know Christ. We're going to spend eternity with Him. And this is a practice field for knowing Christ here in this world. In a very real way, the believer who totally yields his or her life to Christ has from that moment on the very nature of Jesus sown into the soul of his humanity as an incorruptible seed, thus to produce in us the endless succession of growth in Christ, in a Christ-like life. He living his life through us. F.B. Meyer suggests that the essence of our life will be Christ as we reckon ourselves dead to our own selfish desires. Thus, for me to live as Christ, the Lord Jesus must also be the model of our life, and He must be the aim of our life. And thus, our desire is to make Him known to others. When they see Him as our goal, they will be attracted to Him too. And He must be the solace of our life amid the storms and trials of life. We can hide ourselves in the rock of ages, cling to His pierced side, and rest in the heart of our Redeemer. And it is to Him that we come for the reward of life. The reward for us begins here when we know Christ as our Savior. And we'll know more of Christ there when He is going to bring His rewards and give them to us when we arrive in heaven. One suggests, as Paul speaks here in our verse, there are surely good reasons to want to go home, but there are also reasons to stay. While it is true that we will know Christ there, absent from the body, present with the Lord, yet we may know Him here as well. We can know Him as the angels cannot know Him. The angels have never been tempted. They have never fallen into sin. They have never been solaced and comforted as we have been. And they've never known Him forgiving sin with unwearied tenderness and pity. And we may serve Him there, but we cannot serve in the way we can serve Him here. Tears do not need to be wiped away in heaven. Words of comfort do not need to be spoken in heaven. Believers yet born, unborn, will forever be the losers, for they never had the chance we had to walk alongside Christ here in the great battlefield. And we can suffer with Him here. We will not be able to suffer with Him there. And we can only here by faith be nailed to the cross with Him, as it were. It's only here that we can enter into the fullness of giving a life to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only here that we can be a blessing to others. We can take them to the doctor, or we can offer needed help in different ways here in this world. It won't be needed in eternity. Paul looked at the lives of these Philippian believers and was refreshed. And so we can look at growth in character of those with whom we come in contact with whom we work in fellowship, and be refreshed as we see them grow in the Lord. I look at a number of young men here in this assembly that I've known, and I'm sure that Brother Don and others that have worked with him over the years have been refreshed at their growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can do that here. We won't be able to do it there. To look at the fellow saints as a whole and see the value in the work with them. They were privileged to have had fellowship with Paul in the testimony. And we through the Word can fellowship with Paul in the epistles. And as Hebrew 11 suggests, with so great a cloud of witnesses, all of those that have gone on before All of the great saints in the Word have had their testimonies written down for our encouragement. Paul was perhaps encouraging the Philippian believer when he said, "For me to live is Christ." He was enjoying his personal fellowship with the Lord, and it made his heart sensitive to them on their behalf, to any shortness of fellowship that they may have had here in this world. Anything short of fellowship with Christ was a loss. The thoughts of Christ, the fellowship with Him, just would make them more alive to Christ. It would add, or it would keep their heart from sinning and their feet from straying. Thus to live is earthly gain, and to die is heavenly gain. To live, to die, is Christ. Paul recommends it to these saints after a life lived, that we might win Christ. We have been made partakers of a divine nature. Paul would suggest that it is a win-win situation to lay hold on that divine nature. Paul here was comparing his life or death. We think we also have the suggestion that is our life on a constant basis. We have to make decisions as to whether we'll live for Him each day or live for self. It's our choice. But God has given us the privilege, and Paul has suggested that the way to really have happiness in this world is to live for Christ. For me to live is Christ, and to die is more of Christ. To die is gain. May God bless these thoughts to your hearts. Our God and Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast directed us to live our lives in a way that is pleasing and helpful to others here in this world for Christ. We know, our God and Father, that Thou could have taken us out of the world the moment we accepted Christ as our personal Savior. But Thou hast left us here in this world that we might manifest the Lord Jesus Christ to others. And as a result of that, they too may come to know Him, whom to know is life eternal, and they too may be blessed, and one day they may be with us in glory. We know to live for Thee is a blessing now, but it'll be a greater blessing in that day. And so, our God and Father, we ask that as we contemplate the thoughts of Thy blessed Apostle Paul in this regard, that Thou would help us to realize that Thou hast not called upon us to walk through this world alone, but Thou hast sent the Holy Spirit to supply the strength and the knowledge and the wisdom and all that is needed to live for Thee. Thou hast not asked us to do one thing for Thee that He did not do, and Thou hast not asked us to do one thing for Thee that Thou will not supply the strength for. So we ask, our God and Father, that as we live here in this world, again reminded today of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, which made it all possible, we ask that Thou would help us to enter into the value of a life that's lived for the Lord Jesus Christ in the days that lie ahead, that others may be blessed as a result of that. We ask it, giving thanks in His worthy and precious name. We ask it, our God and Father, also that Thou would bless everyone in this room. Thou knowest every need. We ask now that Thou would part us with Thy blessing. We thank Thee for this lovely Easter Sunday, and we ask that Thou would take us home to our homes in safety this evening, and we'll be sure to give Thee the honor and the glory as we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.